You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, get everything you need to know for the Week 6 Sunday and Monday games. The picks straight up, the picks against the spread. You got the look at all the fantasy football busts and sleepers. My column still rolling along, the start, sit 'em, the decider. And then you can also get some DFS-specific stuff, and that's what we're going to be talking about here on Lineup Friday, as we always do here. So looking at some DraftKings roster construction, talking about that. Some players we like at different tiers here that you can target in your cash games and tournaments. And before we do that, we'll do our takeaways from Thursday Night Football, the Patriots-Giants game, and what we learned from that one, then what we learned in DFS, and we'll come back at the end of the show, the last segment there, with injury updates you need to know going into the weekend, and what we expect from the designations to come out later on Friday. So, a lot of stuff to get into, so let's go right into Thursday Night Football, the fallout. It actually played out in the end, the score, much like we thought it would be. 35-14, the Patriots win. They cover. The game goes over. It was in the 41-43 range where you had it, but it didn't matter. It hit 49 here. Part of it was helped by the Giants doing something and scoring a defensive touchdown and a passing touchdown. Breaking news, the first one scored against the Patriots this season. Granted, they haven't played many good quarterbacks, but Daniel Jones had a rough night. We'll start with that side for the Giants. Three interceptions for him. As he tried his best. He was really shorthanded. We thought it could be ugly for this offense. The good news is it actually got a little bit pretty for the one guy that we thought could do something. Here's Golden Tate. Caught 6 of 9 targets for 102 yards, including that 64-yard TD where, yeah, I got a little break there. It should have been deflected, fell down. It got kind of tipped up there and well into Tate's hands, and he was off to the races and into the end zone. So that's what it took to beat the Patriots and get in the end zone with a receiver this season. So good job with Golden Tate if you had him. I mean, he was by default going to be the go-to guy with no Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley, Wayne Gallman, Evan Ingram. He was the guy, and they made some big plays. They couldn't get Darius Slayton or Rhett Ellison going here as a peripheral replacements for Shepard and Ingram in this game. We knew Jonathan Hilliman could do nothing here, and he really didn't. 11 carries for 38, 2 catches -3. So nothing surprising with that line. The biggest surprise was the big score by Tate and the Giants actually having a good defensive day. They had 3 sacks, an interception, and a scoop and score touchdown there against Tom Brady. So Tom Brady still salvages night. It wasn't the way we expected it to happen. It turned into a solid night. It could have been disastrous, but he ends up with 334 yards passing, which really helped that they kept throwing till the end of the game and they couldn't run the ball, which overall helped. And his 2 little rushing touchdowns, the sneaks, they double sneaked it near the end of the game to score him. So they just didn't trust what their running game was doing at the goal line. That's the bottom line here. They had Brandon Bolden do the damage earlier. So weird game where they had 3 rushing touchdowns, none of them from Sonny Michel. Almost had a James White receiving touchdown, but he was short of the goal line there. So frustrating there if you're a White owner. Brady still got his on the very next play with the sneak there. So interesting. Just we thought this was a great game for Sonny Michel, and it was pretty decent. I mean, he had 22 carries for 86 yards, but only 3.9 yards per carry. And they wore them down over time. That he dominated time of possession, and he had the long burst there, 26, to match his jersey number late in the game. But it was looking pretty ugly there early. It was like a 21 for 60 before that. So just not getting much room here. This offensive line not playing very well right now. You have no James Devlin blocking. Your backup fullback's out. You lost a tight end in this game, Matt Lacoste. Just a lot of tough sledding for Michel. He kind of needs a lead blocker to get him through. He's not really a creator right now. He's just a straight-ahead back, which is why he was drafted. The Patriots like that, that kind of no-nonsense back. But right now, it's just not working out for Michelle in terms of what we expect. He did have a nice game last week, but it seems like he needs a really good matchup. And the Giants were a bit underrated, I think, in terms of a run defense in this one going in. So the matchups are going to get a little tougher. They have some couple more easy games left, the Jets and the Browns, but then they turn to the Ravens and Eagles and Cowboys. It's going to be really hard for Michelle to get anything going in those type of games. So it's going to be a lot of passing from Tom Brady, maybe a little bit more usage of Tom Brady near the goal line. He has 3 touchdowns, by the way, on the ground this year, which is really helping because he has only 10 passing through 6 games, but you get over 2 as your average. You'll take that from your quarterback here, and he's thrown a lot, so that also helps. Now, elsewhere in the passing game, we lose Josh Gordon, which was terrible here because he actually got hurt trying to tackle on the Marcus Golden scoop score there created by Lorenzo Carter in that front. So it was a little bit disappointing there. He was already banged up with a knee injury, questionable coming into the game. He plays through it. You're not sure if he's 100%, but it certainly isn't when he had to be knocked out of the game there. We'll see what the injury updates are in a little bit. We won't know for a little bit from the Patriots. That's the way they are. But we know that Julian Edelman is locked in. 2nd straight 100-yard games here for Julian Edelman. 9 for 113 on 15 targets. So Tom Brady's going to pepper him and James White with a ton of targets. James White caught all 9 of his targets for 46 yards. So want a little bit more yardage there from your standard, but for sure. But if you're in a PPR, you love that with James White. So Edelman and White are PPR kind of every week guys when the state of this passing game is pretty weak without Josh Gordon in there. Jacoby Myers has a little bit of the run here. He caught all 4 targets for 54 yards. He's the rookie that outplayed N'Keal Harry there, their first-round pick, and Harry ended on IR. So Myers could have a nice role going forward if Gordon was out. And I'm not saying you're going to go crazy. Remember, Edelman's 100-yard games are the only ones you've seen from this passing game in consecutive weeks here. They didn't get a touchdown in this one. So Tom Brady's getting it done in weird ways with different guys and with his legs. But overall, this passing game, you don't want to invest too much into it beyond Edelman. And we'll have to wait and see. But Myers certainly is worth a pickup if Gordon's going to miss time, because there's certainly a trust factor there with Brady beyond Edelman and White with Jacoby Myers. So we'll keep an eye on that. In terms of Michelle, I mean, this hold tight, he still wasn't terrible in this one. He had the 2 catches for 27 yards, but I think they do that mainly because they don't want to telegraph what he's doing, because they have been known to kind of say when Michelle's in the game, it's a run. So they have a couple throws to him to keep him honest. He got the 27 there overall. So that's what you're going to hope for from game to game, because if you're relying on his rushing and trying to get some touchdowns there, it's going to be pretty sporadic. It's clearly there. The good news is Rex Burkhead's still hurting. We'll see if he can come back next week. They don't really trust Damian Harris. So he's the guy early down, even though Bolden got the love. He actually scored again from last week. He scored on a reception, which kind of hurt these other backs, and Bolden scores on a run here. So we'll have to see with Michelle, but you want some touchdowns and you want a little bit more consistency in the passing game. And the Patriots defense, what can you say? 2 more scores here, 1 on the punt return blocks, another punt return scoop there for a touchdown, their 2nd one. They had one against the Bills as well that kind of saved them in that game. But here, another multiple touchdown game for the Patriots defense, special teams. Now, is this start too good to be true? Quite a bit. I mean, if you can trade the Patriots defense for anything legitimately good here, as maybe someone's willing to trade you a wide receiver 1 or an RB1, try to do it, because it's crazy that they're producing this way. And remember, as I mentioned, they got 1 more game, the Jets, but this is the Sam Darnold Jets, so they'll be a little bit more competent here. And the Giants were the most competent offense they faced, by the way. So keep that in mind so far. The Jets, I mean, they could get a little organized if Darnold is in there this week. Then you have Baker Mayfield and the Browns. I know they haven't played all that well, but there are some guys that can cause some problems here for the Patriots. The Patriots defense is very good. Don't get me wrong. They have a lot of playmakers and they're solid, but we know how fantasy football works. A lot of it is matchup based. it's been a perfect storm for the Patriots. They're a very good defense. They're in position, can make a lot of plays, but they've also had a lot of weak offensive opponents early in the season. We know that's about half the battle when it comes to fantasy scoring there at that position. So, again, second half of the season, okay, maybe the Jets-Browns, given the way those offenses are turning over the ball, that you get a couple more good games. But then it's, again, you have Ravens and Eagles and Cowboys and Chiefs in the second half of the season. So these are teams that don't normally mess up too much and give you a lot to work with. So those will be real tests, but I just can't see the Patriots or any defense maintaining this extremely rapid pace. They're right now almost pretending they're a QB1, much like the Jaguars from 2 years ago. That's kind of what they were averaging, close to a QB1, like 17, 18 points a game. Patriots are smashing that here so far this season. Now, taking it to what we learned in DFS, I mean, last week we learned that getting some running backs there in DraftKings that are going to catch passes and make them the core, and really every week we kind of come to that conclusion. We need solid games from our backs to cash out. That's the first thing you're looking for. So that's where I think you definitely have to build your rosters and go from there. I mean, the wide receivers, you want guys that you think are going to be consistently targeted. We got Adam Thielen and Allen Robinson right last week and getting them in there. And they were really looked to by their quarterbacks all over the field. So sometimes you just have to keep it simple. Go for guys you're not going to get the ball, or that you know are going to get the ball, not some fades. And in tournaments, you go after guys like Will Fuller that have the big matchups. And he's obviously, if you had Will Fuller in a tournament, you did really well last week as well. So a little bit more volatility at wide receiver. That's why running back, you kind of have to get right and really take advantage of those bargains at quarterback, because it really worked out with Chase Daniel there, because we were able to load up in other positions. And really the way you would look at your real fantasy teams, but kind of apply that a little bit more, and you can dive a little deeper at quarterback and still get that return. That's what you're looking for, that 3 to 4X return on each position with how much you spent. So if you spend $5,000 on a player, so to speak, on a quarterback here, you want to at least get 15 points in return in this scoring system. So if you can get 20, you're in business, because you've got 4X there at that position, and that's how you go. And if you can get 4X in a lot of places, you're going to win a tournament for sure, and that's how you have to look at it. There's kind of figure out where your points are coming from and make sure they add up to what you're looking for overall in your games. So there's that for you. We'll be back in a moment with our DraftKings actual roster construction for the main slate of Week 6. But first, I got to tell you about Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime, and let the Vivid Seats app help you get your favorite live event in style. Enter the promo code KICKOFF at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 at Vivid Seats. We'll be right back here to look at DraftKings value plays here for week number 6. All right, let's continue here with transitioning over to our DraftKings roster constructions from what we learned. So let's apply those things from last week into our lineup construction for this week. Now, when you look at games you want to be attached to, I think the Texans-Chiefs game is one. In some form, I think in cash or tournaments, you want to have exposure to that one. We'll see if Tyreek Hill can play, but that's a good spot. But like Tyreek Hill, if he can go. If not, you look at maybe DeMarcus Robinson in that one. Travis Kelce on the other side, certainly Will Fuller after the monster game. DeAndre Hopkins overdue for a big game as well. As players, you can certainly all look at, and then somehow attaching yourself to the quarterbacks. But the quarterbacks, the tricky thing is you're going to have to pay up there. Mahomes, still the ankle injury in the main slate, is worth $7,500. So you're going to have to pay the most value for him. And not surprisingly, Watson is not far behind at $6,700. So this week, again, I'm feeling let's go for some values here. In this situation, I don't really like a lot of the guys that are above $5,700. So I want to go into that, start looking there. Jimmy Garoppolo, $5,700, not bad. But Baker Mayfield, a little bit contrarian tournament plays right now. $5,500, I know the return is not there, but This is a good matchup for him at home against the Seahawks. The Seahawks are not scary pass defense. Seahawks figure to put up a lot of points on the Browns, and there should be a little bit more garbage there for him versus the Rams game where you didn't really have much going on there to get Mayfield going, and then certainly the 49ers game there. So Seahawks do have a little bit of pass rush, but they can be a little bit vulnerable there. So Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., not a bad little sneaky stack here, especially Beckham Jr.'s value has dropped now to 6,800 behind guys like Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill. So he's still pretty expensive, but not a bad contrarian look if you can do that in a stack in a tournament, because people are going to be really off Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. this particular week. Kind of just the bad vibes around everything, but they can get going in a hurry and doesn't take too many targets there. Now, looking at the $5,000 range here, you know, I like Kirk Cousins at 5,200, Andy Dalton 54. Cousins is home. I look like a little bit better than Dalton. You save the $200 there. Now at 5,000, you look at Case Keenum and Gardner Minshew. That's where another thing I'm circling here. Keenum starting there for the Redskins again against the Dolphins. We know how bad they are. And Gardner Minshew on the other side of the Saints defense. We know they have Marshon Lattimore, and he can really give some problems to DJ Chark, but Minshew's at home. He's been pretty consistent with the multiple touchdown passes. Figure the Saints are going to have some success scoring this one. He's going to have a pretty good volume as well. So Minshew Keenum is where I'm kind of going a little bit on the lower tier this week if I'm not going to invest highly in Mahomes or Watson in that game, and Lamar Jackson in between, by the way, at 6,900. So if you want to go high-end, it's okay there. But in the middle, I'm really looking at Mayfield and Cousins. And at the bottom there, Keenum and Minshew. And again, the lower you go, the more confident you feel like with the Minshew. You get an ability to really stack other positions while still getting the same return from quarterback. Now let's look at running back here. Let's look at a few guys that stand out. Now Alvin Kamara, certainly on the higher end. If you can afford him, 8,000, that's why you put in the cheap quarterbacks. Jacksonville just gave up a lot to Christian McCaffrey, similar profile there. Mark Ingram, you really cannot forget about Mark Ingram at 6,600. Great spot against that Bengals run defense at home. This is, looks like an easy smash spot. So if you can build a lineup around Ingram, if you want to save a little bit of money over Kamara, 1,400, that's totally fine. You can pair these guys and you know you're in business, especially if you're in a cash game, because we know Ingram is going to be pretty heavily owned as well as Kamara there. So, but cash, they're pretty solid foundations here to get exactly what you need in this particular week from the higher end running backs. Now, we dig a little deeper here, and Derrick Henry, a little bit, again, a forgotten one, another good tournament play here, 6,100. The Broncos run defense, they actually were a little bit better against the Chargers last week, but still pretty vulnerable. We know this is what the Titans want to do there. So you look at Derrick Henry, 6,100, good little tournament play because he's such a big game runner sometimes. And Mark Ingram, you can get the grind out type game and solid cash. With Alvin Kamara, you can have the explosive game here. So you definitely look at Henry as in that category there. Adrian Peterson, this is an interesting one that I really like on the cheap end, 4,500. It looks like he's going to get a lot of work here. They're a run-heavy team with Bill Callahan, and it's the Dolphins. The Dolphins can't stop anything. Jay Gruden wasn't a fan of Peterson, but now Callahan is probably going to unleash Peterson here along with Chris Thompson. Thompson, we're a little worried that he may not get enough receptions here to make his value count, but Peterson at 4,500, and Chase Edmonds, you got to be ready there. If David Johnson, the back issue, keeps him out, they're going to plug and play Chase Edmonds, and 46 is ridiculous value for him right now. He's priced, obviously, with David Johnson in mind to be healthy, but if he's not, I mean, Edmonds for 46 against his Atlanta defense, very good spot. And Carlos Hyde at 4,400, again, if you want a little exposure that's a little different in the Texans-Chiefs game, he's been running well. They're pretty leaky. And we have to keep an eye on Malcolm Brown. I know the matchup's not great. The 49ers have not allowed a rushing touchdown this season, but Malcolm Brown would get pretty good volume should Todd Gurley sit out with the quad injury. We'll talk about injuries a little later in the show, but some things we certainly have to monitor there to make some decisions here that will get us a little bit more value at running back in this particular week. Let's move on to wide receiver and how we're looking at players here. Now, you can't go wrong with Adam Thielen against this Eagles secondary. He's a little bit more trustworthy there. So that's where I start. He's at 6,700. I mentioned Odell Beckham Jr., 6,800. I think he's a tournament purposes only player. I mean, just with the production, you just really can't trust him right now in cash games there with this connect. But Adam Thielen for $100 less in a cash game, very good. If you pay up a little bit more for Amari Cooper, the Jets secondary stinks for $7,000, especially if Tyreek Hill can't play and you don't want to play Cooper Kupp against that 49ers secondary, or Michael Thomas against that Jaguars secondary, which is not as good as you think, but still you may not want to pay up that much and still try to get that high return. That's all we're looking for, getting the highest return for our price on DraftKings. So I think certainly there. And DeAndre Hopkins, if you're going to pay up there, I think that's where I would go. He's overdue for a big game. The Chiefs secondary stinks there. So Cooper and Hopkins are two of the more higher end I'm looking at in cash, as well as Thielen. And again, if you save that money running back or quarterback, you can really make sure you're not reaching for people at wide receiver this week. Now, Stephon Diggs is not a bad tournament play because we know he can be more robust. Very similar to Odell Beckham Jr., same vibes there. 5,900 there. Michael Gallup at 56 is a great value as well this week. Now, there's another guy I kind of like, but more of a cash game quarterback and more as a flex play here on DraftKings. Dede Westbrook, 5,100. I think he can get 3K that. He doesn't really score a lot of touchdowns, but I think the volume could be good here. Remember, I mentioned Chark and Lattimore could be matched up a little bit, so that opens things up for other guys in other parts of the field for Minshew. Not a bad mini stack there. I don't really like to stack in cash or force it, but Westbrook is a good value, and he's got some correlation with Minshew here that you can go in that direction this week. Now, Cortland Sutton at 5,000, Christian Kirk at 5,200, a couple more values there that you can look at that kind of stand out in this particular week. Not many more that really are really screaming here at wide receiver. If you want to go cheap and really cheap in cash, I think you look at Jamison Crowder at 4,000 here. Could catch a lot of passes here with Sam Darnold back in the mix. So a lot of optimism there about Crowder now that his favorite quarterback and the quarterback's favorite target are back together. Now let's look at tight end. I mean, you have to start at Austin Hooper here. He's at 5,000, so you're going to pay the fourth highest price behind the big three of Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, or George Kittle. I think this is a good week to pay up a tight end, and I don't think I want to go lower than Mark Andrews. We'll see if he's good to go here, but they are playing the Bengals. You figure a lot of running, play action, good spot for Lamar Jackson at home. So Mark Andrews is how low as I want to go, but I really like actually Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, and George Kittle this week. But if you want to save a little bit more money and you know that the Cardinals cannot cover the tight end, and somebody who's very viable and been very productive this year, Austin Hooper, right now he's averaging 17.5 fantasy points per game on DraftKings. He's worth 5,000. So we looked at 3K, 4K. He can really push for the 4K here with the return here on his investment, where Travis Kelce, it's a little harder to get that at 7,000. So when you have $2,000 less and you can get maybe a bigger return there, that's why you have to look at Austin Hooper's. But definitely the Kelce, Ertz, Kittle, one of those monsters, and Andrews. I think if you're going to pay a little bit down here, it's tough because you don't have the Panthers and Bucks in here on this main slate, as well being the early game there. So one less option. So really, I'm not seeing anything that I like on the lower end here. So make sure you leave enough room for a good, viable tight end that can actually give you some very strong points this week. Now, finally, we'll look at defense and special teams. This one was a little tricky because the Cowboys were the highest price at 4,300, but I'm not thrilled about it with Sam Darnold coming back. I think the Cowboys could give up a little bit more. They don't make a lot of big plays against more competent offenses. The Ravens not thrilled about either because the Bengals are not bad. Same thing with the Seahawks, where these are not great defenses, the Ravens or Seahawks, and there's enough on the other side with the Browns and Bengals that they could put up some numbers here. not feeling the Rams, not feeling the Saints. So where do we find some values here this week? I think you can look at the Broncos-Titans game on either side. I kind of like the Titans defense against Joe Flacco a little bit more because remember, Marcus Mariota can get sacked, but he doesn't turn over the ball, where Joe Flacco can get sacked and turn over the ball, and that's what you're looking for the value. So the Titans are 2,900, Broncos is 3,100. Either side of that would not be a bad target. The 49ers, remember, Jared Goff is still turning over the ball quite a bit, 7 interceptions so far. Niners have been very good defensively, 2,700 for them. So people think it's going to be tough a little bit against the Rams, and they should give up some points, certainly, the 49ers, but there's always a chance for some big plays there. So the Titans-Broncos game is pretty much what I'm targeting to get some value this week. I don't have too much interest in the Redskins. I think the Dolphins can actually move the ball on them a little bit this week. So, and there's just not been a good defense, where I feel like the Titans and Broncos have some playmakers and incompetent quarterbacks in that game, where at least a few sacks there, lowage point total. I kind of like the Titans again because I think they're going to go in there and win. And Derrick Henry, a good stack with him in tournaments there. The defense running game correlation means you're playing with the lead, teeing off, and putting teams away with the running game, and that's what I see this week. So there you have it. There's a look at our DFS roster construction there from quarterback to defense and special teams on DraftKings. And it's very exciting to try to make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge, but there's another way you can do it as well. You can go to MyBookie there to take advantage of your dreams coming true this season with putting your knowledge of the NFL to the test and to work for you to make a profit. Between football season, the MLB playoffs now full swing in the LCSs, and the start of the NBA and NHL season, it's time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little to win a lot, much like in DFS, you can try a parlay. For instance, if you have a couple big favorites you like this week, combine them because you can belt multiple times there and multiply your winnings very easily for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet anything on the NFL this season, do so at MyBookie. Smartest thing to do. They have the best player perks in the business. Great live in-game betting. You have all kinds of games you can play. Again, the parlays are out there. You have the nice fantasy football player props there. So all kinds of things to do. And whatever your expertise is, you can put it to the test and win some money. And if you join MyBookie right now, you'll win money right away because they'll double your first deposit. That's right. It's a great deal there for you to join MyBookie right now. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Again, it's promo code LOCKEDON. You just have to visit mybookie.ag today. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. We'll be right back here to close the show with a look at some injuries you need to know across positions here going into the Week 6 weekend games. All right, one last segment here. We're going to go through the injuries here and so you know what's up and anybody that you have to take out, anybody that you need to think about putting in. Let's do this. Quarterback, no Cam Newton, we knew that. Kyle Allen is going to be the starter again. Matthew Stafford has a hip injury, but he'll play as well as Aaron Rodgers has a knee injury. They'll play on Monday night. Both decent starters if you need them. Gardner Minshew, just a little soreness there with the growing. He'll play against the Saints. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes still playing through that ankle injury against the Texans. Drew Brees is missing another game. We knew that. He's waiting for the bye there. Teddy Bridgewater, not a recommended start there on the road against the Jaguars, but can facilitate the offense good for that. Now, Mason Rudolph will have to watch the play on Sunday night against the Chargers. Can he get cleared? Or it'll be Devlin Hodges there, the undrafted rookie, starting for the Steelers and bringing down the entire passing game. Case Keenum, a recommended DFS play as well as Minshew. He's got a foot injury here, but he's going to start practicing in full all week, starting over Colt McCoy and Dwayne Haskins. Now, we turn to running back here. David Johnson's the big one we're watching. This is a tricky one because they've said day-to-day. He's got to get in some work on Friday. We'll see how that works. They're not going to practice till later. But it hasn't looked good early in the week. And Chase Edmonds, pretty much just a straight-up plug-and-play here And hopefully, again, you practice handcuffing, or if you weren't a Johnson owner, you went out and got Edmonds for a solid play this week, because he's in a good spot at home against the Falcons, that's for sure. Now, Christian McCaffrey, a little concerned about the back, but it was just a little bit tightened up and sore, but he's good to go here for that Sunday morning affair, at least to us, in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against the Buccaneers this week. Tony Pollard going to be available. He has an ankle knee injury that got a little banged up in the end of the last game, but he'll be out there against the Jets. Jamal Williams should be there, so we'll see what happens here with the Aaron Jones touches, but you're still going to play Aaron Jones. He's too red hot right now to sit. Carlos Hyde has added a thigh injury to his shoulder, but he's fine for the Chiefs. A bit sneaky play there. LeSean McCoy on the other side of that game is good to go here, and we'll see if they give him a little bit more run this week than they did last week. Now, Justin Jackson's out, a lot of Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler against the Steelers. Todd Gurley, this is the big one that we're watching with the quadriceps injury. It's called a thigh contusion, but keep in mind that the Rams didn't play on Sunday. They played last Thursday, and he's still dealing with something. So Malcolm Brown is ready, looks like, to be the starter. Mark Walton, a name that we're going to watch this week. They've said after the bye they want to get this kid more involved. He has an illness, but he's going to play out there against the Redskins. Now, looking at Alvin Kamara, he popped up on the ankle with an ankle injury on the practice report there. They hope he's going to be playing against the Jaguars. That's the expectation right now, so we'll have to watch a little bit carefully in practice. You're looking at Darren Sproles with the quad, Corey Clement with the shoulder, both missing that Eagles-Vikings game, so should mean some good touches for Jordan Howard. It's a tough matchup, but if you're stuck a little bit in a pinch with the bye weeks, and you could be with David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, the Bills' backfield off, you might want to do this, especially with Marlon Mack also not available this week either. So Jordan Howard, you might have to play through. Jalen Samuels is not going to play with his knee injury, so good run for James Conner, staying on the field a lot against the Chargers. A sneaky good DFS play if you're doing a showdown there for Sunday night football. Conner should dominate all the touches. Now, Kyle Juszczyk, he's not a fantasy asset, but he can help the guys, Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman there. He's not going to play, looks like, with a knee injury. So he's a key part of their offense, helps a lot of little things. So we'll see how that turns out for the 49ers. But something to certainly keep in mind, as well as their injuries at offensive tackle. So maybe a little bit of tough game for Jimmy Garoppolo, unless it's a running game setting up some play action there. Now, Chris Carson popped up on the injury report with a shoulder injury. Rashad Penny also there with a hamstring, but he's going to play. I would say right now Carson should play. We'll see if there's any setback here on Friday, but that should be the indication. Christian Kirk looks like he'll return there against the Falcons at home here with the ankle injury. We'll watch that one carefully, but it's looked good so far. Julio Jones, a hip injury, but he's going to play through that typical midweek stuff that he goes through, but he'll play. Marquise Brown, now we'll have to watch this one. He has missed two practices with the ankle injury. They may be playing it safe with him, but there's a chance that Hollywood may not be out there against the Bengals, especially if they think they can win without him. AJ Green on the trade block, but he's certainly not going to play in that Ravens game on the other side. Odell Beckham Jr. and Rashad Higgins are good to go for the Seahawks. We'll see if they can produce, however, this week. Looking at the Cowboys, Amari Cooper, he's got some issues there in the ankle and the quad, but he's going to certainly play. Michael Gallup's fine with the knee. Damon Austin's going to play. Randall Cobb is someone we're going to watch here because he had a new injury this week, kind of scratched in practice on Thursday, so they may not be without Cobb. I don't think it changes too much. Still a lot of Cooper and Gallup on the outside. Maybe a little bit more run for Austin working in a traditional slot role. Now with the Broncos, Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton are fine. They're different type of injuries. Danny Amendola, you're not using him, but he'll be out there for the Lions. Now, Devontae Adams is probably not going to be out there for the Packers against the Lions. This toe injury is really annoying. Unfortunately, it's one of those things. We've seen guys have this before. Julio Jones, AJ Green. Just very painful when you can't run and do the things you're supposed to do as a wide receiver. So how does this little toe cause so much problems? But it can. And Devontae Adams has said he's not going to play until he feels at full strength. And I think that's also smart for the Packers not to rush it so he doesn't have anything worse happen with his foot in this game. Now, Marquez Valdes-Scantling Hamstring and calf injury was limited, but he should be out there in this game. We'll keep an eye on him. Kenny Stills could return for the Texans. He's limited again. If he's not in, it's good news for Hopkins and Fuller dominating targets there. Tyreek Hill, we'll have to see if he gets cleared for contact or we get any indication. He's 50-50 legitimately because he's good to go physically in terms of being able to run around and practice, but in terms of being able to take hits, we'll have to see with Tyreek Hill this week. Sammy Watkins doesn't look good here with a hamstring injury to play. Brandon Cooks looks like he's going to play. He's expected to be cleared with a concussion that he suffered. He has had the extra time with the Thursday night game in week 5 to recover. He should be out there against the 49ers. Albert Wilson could return for the Dolphins, giving him another playmaker. We'll see what he can do there. Calf and hip injuries. Adam Thielen just had an illness, but he's fine for the Eagles. Looking at Tre'Quan Smith, he's going to be out of the mix again. He's fading anyway. He shouldn't be on any leagues. Ted Ginn has a little bit more juice after making a big play last week for the Saints. Now, Robbie Anderson there is going full here, working with Sam Darnold. So a little bit more upside, but the Cowboys are really good at containing big plays. Demaryius Thomas, hamstring and knee, got a little bit more run as the number two here. He should be okay. But I like Jameson Crowder again over both of these guys this week. Now, DeSean Jackson, Eagles are missing him badly. Probably another week at least for him. He's not playing this week with the abdomen. James Washington out, so that can be interesting with Deontay Johnson maybe seeing a little bit more run this particular week. There, we'll see if Devlin Hodges is out there or Mason Rudolph. But again, Deontay Johnson, who led the team in targets over Juju Smith-Schuster last week, with no Washington, is going to be the guy in the short term. Chris Godwin is okay with the hip injury. He'll play that Sunday morning, again, for us in Eastern time, and very early morning in the Pacific time there against the Panthers. Breshad Perriman looks like he'll miss the game, however, with a hamstring injury. Now, closing at tight end, Mark Andrews, good to go with the shoulder. TJ Hockenson may not be cleared with a concussion to play against the Packers. You're looking at Jimmy Graham. He's fine to play. Hunter Henry is the guy we're monitoring, hopefully, to gifts. Give us a little bit better options at tight end, but limited again the knee. I don't know if he'll return quite yet against the Steelers. Irv Smith, he's not doing much yet for the Vikings quad, but he's good to go. Looking at Vance McDonald, we'll have to watch 2 days of no practice for Vance McDonald. So he may have a setback and may have to go back to missing time. Delanie Walker was upgraded full with the knee, and he's fine. And Vernon Davis should be back here. Now, hopefully he gets cleared to play. Good spot against the Dolphins if you need to stream a tight end. There, Jordan Reed also dealing with a concussion, but now it's been multiple weeks for him. I don't get why he's still in the mix and still trying to play here. But again, that's him. I think Davis right now probably is going to play and is a decent spot working with Keenum in this game. So there you have it. There's a look at all your injury updates at all the skill positions there for week number 6. That should help you with your roster decisions as well, and kind of making those last minute decisions at DFS and season long league. So there you have it. There's our weekly progressive that we call Locked On Fantasy Football. We go from Roundup Monday to Lineup Friday, put the previous week in the books with week 5, push you forward to week 6, and we'll do it all again starting there going into week 7 on Monday. Short, sweet, to the point. Everything you need to know, no nonsense fantasy football analysis here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Thanks so much for listening and supporting our show. We'll see you next week. Good luck in all your games this week.